But turning your Bibles to Romans 15, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And we call this a foundational letter. It's written about 57 A.D. and gives us great truths to know and apply. Now, what we've seen already in chapters 1 through 11, it's the doctrine, the teaching. And then chapters 12 through 16, the application, living out who we are in Christ. We're now near the end of our study. For the past several weeks, we have been seeing believers' relationships to each other. And we've seen things like loving each other and serving each other and building each other up and helping each other grow. But again, last week, we begin seeing the whole issue of ministry. In fact, the whole rest of the letter of the book of Romans, chapters 15 and 16, deal with ministry. We see Christ's ministry to all people, and then Paul's ministry and the Jews' ministry, and all of that, it all ties together. This morning, we see powerful truths concerning ministry, and we're going to see two things. Number one, we're going to see how Paul describes the believers at Rome. It's pretty powerful because we're going to look, what does he say about them? Then how can we look at ourselves and say, how do we measure up to that? Or how do we look at all that? And then the second thing is we're going to see how Paul describes his own ministry. The goal is to understand and to make application. We want to be like the believers in Rome, and we want to have the same view of ministry that Paul does. There's some great things as we study this morning. Well, let me begin by a great truth. Here's the great truth. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have become children of God. We have eternal life simply by faith. We are in God's family. We are children of God. In fact, we then raise the question, what are we supposed to do? Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says we're to make disciples. That's the Great Commission. Making disciples is twofold. It's evangelism and training. We lead people to Christ and then we train them and equip them. Well, how do we do this? What are we supposed to be like? What are our lives supposed to be like? Well, there's a very famous passage from the Old Testament that gives us a pattern of what we are to do, how our lives are to be. It's found in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Don't turn there, but if you've ever been through our membership training seminar or if you've ever been through our 4:12 study, you've looked at this passage. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra was a scribe. He lived in Babylon. He decided to go back to Jerusalem. And as he went back to Jerusalem, it says he purposed in his heart. He made a decision to do three things. One was to study the law of the Lord. Second was to apply it. And third was to teach its statutes and ordinances in Israel. That's Ezra 7:10. It says Ezra purposed in his heart that he would study the law of the Lord, that he would practice it, and he would teach its ordinances in all of Israel, ordinances and statutes. He would do three things. Study the word, apply the word, pass on the word. Knowing it, living it out, and teaching others. Now, as we look this morning at Paul's description of the Romans, of the church at Rome, this is how he describes them. He says they are full of knowledge. They know the word. He says they're full of goodness. They're living out the word. He says they're able to admonish or teach. They're teaching the word. As we look at this passage, we want to be encouraged that we'd be believers who know the word of God, who live out the word of God, and who teach the word of God. Well, let's begin. We're seeing Paul's final exhortation to the Romans. He's dealing with ministry. In fact, the whole rest of the book deals with ministry. I've got an overhead for you that we want to see that this is the four big areas of ministry that we'll see in the rest of the book. We saw last week Christ's ministry to both Jews and Gentiles. That was 8 through 13. Beginning this morning at verse 14 through 24, we won't get all of that this morning, but we're going to see Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. Then, following that, we'll see the Gentiles' ministry to the Jews, and then finally, the last chapter deals with believers' ministry to Paul. So that's what we're looking at. The rest of the book deals with ministry. Now, this morning, we're going to begin to focus on Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, and we're just going to see the first part of it. In fact, let me break down the whole passage for you. This is the second thing we want to see. In 14 through 24, this is the whole passage. We won't get that this morning. But we're going to see Paul's description of the believers at Rome. That's verse 14. We'll see that. How does he describe them? And then let's look at our own lives and see, how do we measure up? How are we described? And then the second thing is he deals with his ministry. We see his own ministry in 15 through 17, the power and the location of the ministry, and then the desire to come to Rome. And this morning, all we're going to do is we're going to look at verse 14, and then we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. We're even going to save verse 17 for next week because there's so much in here. So we want to see how it fits together. So there's some great things we'll see this morning. Well, let's begin. We're seeing, first of all, the description of the believers in Rome. And I think the goal for us would be to realize they are a pattern. They are a pattern for our own lives, and we want to see what they're like, and our desire should be the same as them. Look at verse 14. And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. Now, Paul starts out and he's writing, of course, the whole letters to these believers in Rome, but look how he actually gets specific. He says, now concerning you, my brethren. Now, he's addressing these believers and he calls them brethren. And that's one thing we find out, that when you look in the Bible talks about the fact that when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in the family of God. And in a sense, we're all brothers and sisters. And so that's how he calls them. He says, I'm writing to you and my brethren. John 1:12 says, as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. That means every one of us in this room who have trusted in Christ as Savior, in a sense, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. So he writes and he says, now concerning you, my brethren. And then he says this, I myself also am convinced. And that means that he's sure, he's true of this, he knows it's true of them. He says, I am convinced that you, and then he lists three things about them. Notice, number one, you yourselves are full of goodness. Number two, filled with all knowledge. Number three, able also to admonish one another. Now he says, you're full of goodness, you're filled with knowledge, and you're able to admonish one another. Now, let me tell you what that means. To be filled with goodness literally means to be filled righteousness. That's what it says. And the idea there is they're living out who they are. They're living out righteousness. The second thing it says, full of knowledge. That means they know the truth. They understand the truth. They know the Word of God. And the third thing it says, able to admonish one another. The word admonish means to warn, to instruct, or to teach. He says you're able to teach each other. Now, if you stop and think for just a second, that is what Ezra did. Remember Ezra said, I'm going to know the Bible, I'm going to apply the Bible, and I'm going to teach the Bible. Paul says that these believers know the Word of God, that they're living out the Word of God, and that they're able to teach each other the Word of God. I think this is the key. As we look at their lives, we'd say, now look, what are these believers? They're ready to know the Scripture. They're ready to live it out in their lives. They're ready to pass it on. And I think when we see this, we ought to say the same thing for us. And we say, listen, this ought to be the pattern of our lives as believers. We need to know the Word. We need to live out the Word. We need to teach the Word. In fact, we ought to know the Word, being full of knowledge. We ought to live out the Word, living righteously and godly. We need to teach the Word to others. You know, I think it's important that we rightly divide the word of God. We know it. I think it's important that we're lights and examples in this community, that we live it out, and that we take the things that we've been taught and pass them on to others, that we teach others as well. That's 2 Timothy 2:2, and that's one of the keys. Now, the goal, I think, that would be powerful for all of us is if we said today, listen, how do I want to be described as a believer? It would be that I know the Scripture, that I live out the Scripture, and that I'm teaching other people the Scripture. That's the key. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, first of all, to know the Word, you're going to have to study the Word of God. I think it's important, we talked about it several weeks ago, that you, at least on a weekly basis, that you have a time in which you are studying the Scripture yourself. Now, I'm not talking about a quiet time. I think you have a quiet time every day in which you get off and you read and you pray and you write stuff down and you're just talking to God. That's a quiet time. I'm talking about a study time in which you are studying the Scripture on your own, that you're rightly dividing the Word of truth. You're putting down an understanding so that you can communicate to other people the truths that are found in the Bible. I think it's important that we do that. The second thing, we got to decide we're going to study it. Number two, we have to decide that we're going to live it out. We're going to have to live according to God's Word. I think the way that we do that is what we've seen early in the book of Romans chapter 12, where he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the Word. And I think it's important that we make a decision that we're going to live our lives based on God's Word. That takes us to the third thing, and that we got to teach others. So you're going to have to know the Scripture, live out the Scripture, and then take the time to teach other people. Look around in your life. Who are the people that God has in your life that you can communicate truth to? That you can either take somebody through a 412, or you get you a small group, or you get one-on-one, or you get a time in which you're helping other people know the Scripture. So we must study the Word of God so we can know it. We must make a decision to live it out so we can live it out. And we must put it all together so that we can teach other people. That's the plan. I would pray that myself and that you, we would be described as those who know it, live it, and teach it. That's the key. from this, and that's just was one verse, Paul then now turns to himself. He's described them, and now he's going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about his own ministry, how he looks at life and all of this. And I think it's one of the great truths. Again, we can make application of this. Look what he says in verse 15. In fact, I'm going to put verse 15 and 16 together. I'll read it together. He says, but I've written very boldly to you on some points, so as to remind you again, because of the grace that was given to me from God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering to the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Simply put, Paul says, by the grace of God, I get to serve God and take the good news message to other people. That's what he says about ministry. We're going to see more details, but that's the bottom line. Notice how he starts this. But I have written very boldly to you on some points. Now, he says, I have written to you very boldly. The word boldly means straightforward. Let me tell you this. Paul did not, you know, when you talk about the book of Romans, and that's what he's talking about, Paul didn't beat around the bush. If you read the first part of the book of Romans, he says we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You go a little farther, he says the only way of salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. He talks about the Christian life and being in union with Christ and growing. Paul never beat around the bush. He said, I have spoken and written to you very boldly. We live in a culture that doesn't want people to speak boldly. People want to say, well, you need to be politically correct. Let me tell you something. You stand to the word of God, you will not be politically correct. You will stand for the truth and you will be bold and you will say, this is what's right. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way to go to the Father except through Him. That's being bold. That's not being politically correct. It's being bold and it's being biblical. Paul said, I have written to you boldly. We stand for Jesus Christ boldly. When you go out of this place and you go onto that campus and in this community and in this world, there are going to be people who want you to be safe. You cannot be safe. You can stand for what is right. And it will not be popular in many situations. It will not be popular. But we're not called to be popular. We're called to stand for truth. Paul says, I have written very boldly to you on some points. Now, we'd say some points. Look at this book. We've called it the foundational book of the New Testament. All of the main doctrines that we need to know are found in this book. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 tell us that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God and that we need a Savior. Chapters 3 and 4 tell us that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's not by works, but simply by faith. Chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 give us the Christian life, talking about that we're in union with Christ and we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. And we're to live righteously and godly, and we have the security of our salvation. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 tell us about Israel, past, present, and future, how God chose them and the rejection of Christ and how God is working in their lives now. And then one of these days He will bring Israel to Himself. Romans 9, 10, and 11. And then the last part of the book, very bold, He tells us how to live and how to relate to one another. So when Paul says, I've written to you boldly on some points, we're talking about one of the major doctrines. All of them are covered in the book of Romans. That's why, if you could only have one book of the Bible, if somebody said, that's all you can have, we're tearing it out, which one do you want? I'd say, give me Romans. Give me Romans. It's got everything in it. So Paul says, I've written to you boldly on some points. Now, I like this next part. He says, so as to remind you again. Why did he write this? To remind them of things that they already knew. See, these aren't new issues to these people. They know some of these truths. They've been taught before, but they needed to be reminded of these foundational truths. Let me say this. There are some of you in this room who have been Christians for maybe 40 or 50 years. There are some of you been in this church for 10, 15, 18 years, and you know truth, but we need to be reminded over and over of the foundational truths so that we can stand for them. Some of you have been members for a long time. You may not have gone through recently or ever the membership training seminar. Notice it's not called new member seminar. It's called membership training seminar. And you, if you hadn't been through that in a long time, or if you've never been through it, we're having it coming up pretty soon. You can go through it because it gives us the basic things of what we believe and how our church functions. Those are foundational things we need to be reminded of again. So Paul says, I've written very boldly to you on some point so as to remind you again about these things. Now, I want you to understand something. When Paul wrote this to them, they understood and Paul understood that this was the Word of God. They didn't think they were just getting some letter from some guy. They knew that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ, that he got direct revelation from God, and that these letters, the letter that he wrote and the 12 other letters that Paul wrote, were revelation from God, and they knew that God had spoken to them through Paul as basically a prophet or an apostle of Jesus Christ. So when they got this letter, they didn't just go, "Here's a letter." They went, "This is the Word of God." And that's how we look at it. We have the Word of God. Now, here's what he says. Now, watch. This is how he describes ministry. He says, "I've written to you very boldly on some points so as to remind you again because of what? Because of the grace that was given me from God." He says that God in His grace gave him the opportunity to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, it's an incredible thing. Paul saw ministry as the grace of God, that he was allowed to be an apostle. He was allowed to teach. He was allowed to write. He was allowed to do that. And I think there's something that every one of us in this room need to realize, that it is all the grace of God. Whatever ministry, whatever God has allowed you to do, it is His grace that you get to do it. None of us deserve to get to live. None of us deserve to get to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and yet He's done it all for us. And He says, guess what? On top of that, I'm the living God, and I'm going to let you serve me. Can you? We could go. You're talking about the living God is actually saying to you, "You want to serve me?" We go, "Me serve you? Really? You kidding? No. I want you to serve me." It's the grace of God. Sometimes we don't look at it that way. Sometimes we look at it, "Gosh, I hope I don't have to do anything. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit there. Don't ask me to do it. I don't even know what my gifts are. I don't want to know what my gifts are, because I might have to do something if I know what my gifts are." You should look at ministry as the grace of God. He is allowing you to serve Him. It's powerful. He says that because of the grace that was given to me from God. By His grace, we are saved. By His grace, we have the Holy Spirit to empower us. By His grace, we have spiritual gifts to serve Him. By His grace, He gives us the opportunities. Do you see ministry as coming from the grace of God? D.L. Moody said this. He was a famous preacher years ago, but he said this. He said, "I'm only one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And by the grace of God, I will do it." See, with ministry comes responsibility. By the grace of God, we get to be servants. We get to serve Him. We get to live for Him. We have the great responsibility as a child of God to make an impact for Christ. So are you serving? There's an old saying that says Christians should be on the front lines, not the sidelines. Hudson Taylor was a missionary to China, China Inland Mission he started. Around the turn of the old century, not this recent turn of the century, but around the 1900s, he approached a man. He was approached because he was sending, trying to get people to go to China. And he was approached by a man with one leg. And the man said, "I would like to go." And Hudson Taylor stopped and he said, "Well, I don't know. Why do you think you should be going? You've really only got one leg." And the man said, "Because I don't see many men with two good legs going. I want to go." What are the gifts and talents and abilities that God has given to you? How can you be used by God to touch lives for Jesus Christ? Do you see the fact of being a servant ministry that God has given you by His grace an opportunity to serve Him? We get to do it. It's amazing. Now, watch what he describes. In the next verse, verse 16, he's going to describe ministry. And there are really four parts to it, but let me read it for you. He says, "To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God." And then he goes on to say, "So that my offering to the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." He saw himself as a servant of Jesus Christ to proclaim the message of salvation. I want you to see something. There are four things that stand out in this thing. And before we put them up on the board, let me show them to you as we read the verse. Look what he says. Number one, he's to be a minister. Number two, of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Number three, serving as a priest. Number four, the gospel of God. Those four things is how he saw ministry. And I want you to realize that those same four things are true for every one of us in this room. And what we've seen so far is that if we're going to be like the Roman believers, we're going to know the Bible, apply the Bible, and teach the Bible. But if we're going to be also like Paul, we have to stop and say, it is the grace of God I get to serve. And as we think of that, there are four things. Let me give you the four. Here's the first one. Paul saw ministry is that he was a minister. Notice verse 16. At the end of verse 15, it says, the grace that was given to me from God to be a minister. Now, when you hear the word minister, a lot of times you say, now, somebody's a minister, you think of somebody like a preacher. You think of somebody like me. You say, oh, JB's a minister. That's what he's talking about. No, he's not. The word minister there literally means servant. And do you realize that every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are ministers. We are servants of Christ. In fact, we've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We're to glorify God in our bodies. We belong to Him. We are ministers. Now, you may have heard people say things like clergy and laity. Have you ever heard people say, well, you are lay people, lay believers? There's no such thing biblically. There's no such thing as a level of clergy and a level of laity. The Bible never looks at it that way. All of us who know Christ as Savior, we're all in the body of Christ. We all got different gifts, talents, and abilities. I am no different than you, and you're no different than me. We all know Christ. We all are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You got different spiritual gifts. I got different spiritual gifts. I'm not a clergy, and you're not the laity. We're all in this thing together. We are all ministers of Jesus Christ. And so he says the very first thing, that he was a minister. We are servants. You know what our ministry is? We all got the same ministry. Now, we all got different ways we do it, but you know what our ministry is? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means we get to tell people how they can be reconciled to God. We get to tell people how they can have eternal life. That's our ministry. All of us have that. And that's just the starting thing. We got all other things we do as well, but we're all in that. So the first thing Paul said, he was a minister, we're ministers. Here's the second thing, minister of Jesus Christ. Now, what do you think about that? That's who we serve. We serve Christ. We do not serve a church. You're not servants of Countryside. You're not servants of a denomination. You're not servants of a group or a movement or anything. You are servants of Jesus Christ. He is the one that died on the cross and paid for your sins. He is your Savior. He bought you. He owns you. You belong to Him. So when you go through life, you're not saying, I'm serving Countryside. You're serving your Savior. That's why the Bible says, run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus. Your focus is on Christ. Your focus is not on a denomination or a church or a group of something. Your focus is on Jesus Christ. He's the one that is your substitute. He's the one that died for you. He is the one that we serve while we're on this earth. Now notice what Paul says. He was a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now that's who Paul was sent to. If you look in the Bible, you'll find that Peter was sent to the Jews and Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Now, as a whole, Paul would say that his ministry was to go to Gentile people, non-Jewish people. But he didn't just do that. He always went to the Jew first. In fact, if you remember Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But Paul's ministry, he saw his life as being sent to the Gentiles to take the message of Jesus Christ. So he says that he is a minister of Jesus Christ. Now, the thing about us is, where has God put us? Right now, He has put us in Stillwater. I love it here. I love this place. It's a great place. People come and go. We got college students. I just love it. This is where He's put us. And every day where you go to work, where you go live, whether it's on the dorm, in the campus, an apartment, your house, your family, your neighborhood, people you work with, people you play golf and things, those are all people that God has put in your life, and you are ministers of Jesus Christ to them. There are people that you come in contact with every day that do not know Jesus Christ. They don't even know what you're talking about. If you've ever even talked to them about it, they don't have a clue yet. But one of these days they might, because of you. So, he was a minister of Jesus Christ. Now, let me go a little further, because look at the next thing that it says. To be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest. The third thing, he's as a priest. Now, let me understand this, that but whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, the idea of a priest is a one who serves. Sometimes we got this idea that priests are like separate, especially you go back to the Old Testament, you think of the priests of Israel, and then there were the people. But the word priest there has that idea of one who is going to serve. Paul saw his ministry as being a priest of God. Now, here's something you may not know. Every believer in the New Testament is a priest. In fact, in the book of Revelation chapter 1, it calls us a kingdom of priests. In 1 Peter, it says that we are priests of God who get to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. So every one of us are ministers of Jesus Christ as priests. Now, just for a second, because we're almost out of time, I want to give you quickly what sacrifices do we offer? Because that's what priests do. They offer up sacrifices. What are the sacrifices we offer? Well, in Romans 12, we offer up our lives. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we offer up our lives. In Hebrews 13, we offer up the praise of our lips. We offer up our good deeds and our sharing. And then finally, in this passage, we offer up our ministries as offerings to God. So you're a priest. You may not have realized it, but you are a priest of God. You're a servant of Jesus Christ as a priest. And one more thing, look what he says. The gospel of God. He says, ministering as a priest, the gospel of God. Now, the word gospel means good news. He saw himself as a priest giving out the gospel. And when we talk about the gospel, the word literally means good news. It is the good news that God has provided a Savior. You know, there's bad news and good news. The bad news is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The bad news is that no matter how many good works you try to do, you can never measure up. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 says, every good work that you do is filthy rags. So the bad news is you can't measure up to God. The good news is God has provided a way through His Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. 15 verse 1 says, I make known to you the gospel. Verse 3 and 4 says, Paul says, I delivered unto you of first importance, which I also received. Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture, that He was buried, and He rose again on the third day, according to Scripture. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He paid for our sins. He rose again. Whoever will believe in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's the gospel. Paul says, I get to go as a priest to take the gospel message. Wow. We get to do that. Paul said, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ as a priest to take the gospel. We are ministers of Jesus Christ as priest to take the gospel. Thank God for His grace. Thank God that He saved you and He uses you. Thank God that you know the gospel and that you can be ready to share it with other people and realize you are a minister of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this last thing because we'll have to go quickly. Time is just about up. He says, the end result of His ministry is this, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. He's actually saying that as a priest, His ministry of going to the Gentiles was like a priest offering a sacrifice to God. And He's saying, may my ministry be an acceptable sacrifice to God. And let me tell you, whatever you do, wherever God has you, whatever ministry you have, the bottom line is may your ministry be like a sacrifice to God, and you're offering it to Him and saying, God, this is how I'm serving you. This is how you're using me. I lift this to you as an acceptable sacrifice. That's how He says it. So He ends the little passage by saying that so that His offering of the Gentiles, His service to the Gentiles will become acceptable like a sacrifice to God, sanctified, set apart by the Holy Spirit. All ministry is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It can't be done by our flesh, only by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Here's our summary on this. Paul reminds the Romans that by God's grace, he's a servant representing and presenting the gospel with the end result that his ministry would be acceptable to God. We do the same thing, that whatever ministry is God has for us, we hope and pray and plan that it will be acceptable to God. What have we seen? Let me give it to you. We've seen that Paul describes the Romans as knowing, applying, and passing on the Word of God. We know that Paul writes boldly on some key points. We know that by God's grace, Paul said that he serves as a priest presenting the gospel, and that the goal in his ministry is that it would be acceptable offering to God. Now, let me give you the applications, okay? And we'll think through this with me and we'll be through. Here's the first application. Here it is. Let's be faithful servants of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Two things stand out to me just when we say that, faithful and servants. We realize, first of all, we are servants of Jesus Christ. But second is, we want to be faithful. That is the key. Wherever God has you, whatever you're doing, whatever gifts, talents, and abilities you have, you want to just be faithful. That's why 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, brethren, is required of stewards to be found what? Faithful. That's why when you stand before Jesus Christ, we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's the key. Now, I want to challenge you on something for just a second. Think with me. God needs, God wants, God desires to use men and women who are going to stand for Him. And that means we're going to be people who cannot be bought, who put character above anything else, who will be honest in the small things as well as the big things, who will not make compromise with wrong, who will not do something just because everybody else is doing it, who are not ashamed to stand for what is right and for the truth, and who will say no even if the rest of the world is saying yes. You must stand for the truth. You want to make an impact for Christ? You be a godly man or woman who says, I want to live for my Savior. Realize that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary ministry. So with that in mind, A, let's follow the pattern of the Romans. What did they do? They knew the Word of God, they applied the Word of God, and they taught the Word of God. What we must do is know the Bible, apply the Bible, and teach it. If you're going to know it, you're going to have to study it. And my recommendation is you study the Scripture. If you've never been through a 412, get into one of our 412s. If you've never been through the 2-2, get into the 2-2. If you've never been to CBI, get into CBI. That's Countryside Bible Institute, Tuesday night, 6:30. Opportunities for you to know the Scripture. And then, two, you live it out. You offer your life to God. You say, God, take my life and use me for your glory. And then number three, you be used by God to communicate truth to someone else. You help pass on the Word to others. So we want to follow the pattern of the Roman believers. B, realize that all ministry is the grace of God. That's how you should look at it. We get to serve Him. It's the grace of God. He lets us serve Him. He gifts us. He empowers us. He uses us. The freedom that we have in Christ sets us free to serve others. We are servants of Christ. That takes us to C. As priests, that's what we are. Let us present the good news of God to others. Let's present the gospel. We are servants of Jesus Christ as priests who present the gospel. Know the message. Be clear that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Be ready to share your faith. Pray for the opportunities. Look for the opportunities and be used by God to touch lives for Christ. May our ministry be an acceptable offering to God. By God's grace, may we be faithful servants of Jesus Christ, knowing, applying, and teaching the Word of God as we present the good news message to those who don't know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a great morning. Thank you for these truths. Lord, as we think about them, it's powerful. We just want to be faithful servants of Jesus Christ, Lord, and that's the key. We want to be men and women who stand for you. First of all, Lord, we want to follow the pattern of the Romans. We want to know the Word. We want to dig it and study it. We want to live it out. We want to make the decision that we're going to live for you. And then, Lord, we're going to be able to teach it and pass it on to others so they too can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. Lord, we realize that ministry is all of your grace. It's your grace. You use us. You don't have to use us. We thank you that you do. You give us your power. You give us spiritual gifts. You give us the Word. Use us, Lord, for your glory. And Lord, as priest of God and as servants of Jesus Christ, may we present the good news message. I pray, Lord, that this week you'll give us an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.